The Gospel according to John. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I was watching television earlier this week when a commercial for Air Transit came on. Air Transit is a North American leisure airline company whose motto is "Vacation is calling." Matt says I'm a sucker for marketing, and it's true. Sure enough, after watching the 30-second advertisement, I was ready to plan our next vacation. We're going to Cancun in June, Matt reminded me, but I'm already ready to escape again. Balancing a full-time job where I preach and teach weekly, as well as oversee our adult ministry team, is not always easy, especially when I'm also a full-time mom to two little ones. I am by no means complaining. I love nothing more than being a mother to my children, and I routinely voice that I'm doing my dream job. But often, I find myself overwhelmed, fatigued by the demands of being both a pastor and a mother, not to mention a wife, a daughter, a sister, and a friend. Just this week, I felt so overwhelmed by the incessant pressures of life that I left work early to go home and just rest. It has been my habit, anytime I want to relax or rest, to watch television, usually an old episode of Law and Order. So there I was on a Monday afternoon, attempting to find refuge from the stress of life when an advertisement for Air Transit came on. Maybe it was the woman's apartment bed that magically turned into a raft on the ocean, or the man's business building that turned into a rainforest. Whatever it was, the commercial had me convinced. Vacation is calling. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is something very tempting about escaping from the world. Air Transit knows this. All travel agents, the tourist industry, and the real estate business all know this. They spend millions of dollars to lure us to take luxury cruises where our every whim is met, to enjoy fractional ownership in condos at the shore, to buy a second home in the mountains, to live in a gated community where we can leave our workday pressures behind. You see, while the images used to sell these retreats often reflect our glitzy media world, they also reveal the human desire for respite from the world and its ceaseless pressures. My guess is because you too are human, you know this desire. You also are laborers, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, friends, and life demands an awful lot from you. So whether it's a vacation you desire or just a day to go home and watch television, I'm confident that you too understand the need for respite from the world. You see, the desire to retreat from the world is as ancient as the Bible. In fact, religious faith has often intensified the desire to escape the world. Let me give you an example. Growing up, I always went to church youth camp every summer. I'd spend a week away from home at a campsite somewhere in East Texas where we'd worship, we'd study the scriptures, we'd spend time in small groups, and we'd just fellowship. Every year, we campers would return with what was commonly known as a youth trip high. We'd be on fire for Jesus, as was the language we used to use. And then after a few days, we'd reacclimate to secular culture and abandon the faith commitments that we made. After a while, it got to where we never wanted to return from youth camp. We knew the routine, that the feeling we had would soon be lost. I remember once sharing with a friend, "I wish I could stay forever at camp. I'm a much better Christian here." You see, after having glimpsed a vision of what is holy and what is good, the human spirit hungers not for the promised splendor of luxury resorts, but for a community and a way of being that avoid the clamor and conflict of the world. The history of Christianity is filled with stories of people of faith retracting from participation with the world. Monasteries, convents, reform movements, communal living, utopias, retreat centers, they all attempt to reclaim the practices of primitive Christianity. And while each of these developed its own peculiar shape and ethos, all of them have been efforts to create a space unencumbered by the world that would allow for a fuller realization of a faithful and holy life. According to our scripture, the desire to live apart from the world arose in the community of John. By the end of the first century, as conflict with the authorities increased, the members of John's community were understandably attracted to a life of faith that would disengage them from the powers that were opposed to the gospel. How good would it have felt to retreat into their own group, to recall the stories of Jesus, their Savior and their friend, to sense his presence in their meals of bread and wine, to enjoy each other's supportive fellowship, and to no longer have to defend their beliefs and practices in a hostile world. I can imagine the temptation given the reality of their day. It seems Jesus understood this temptation, and yet he knew they had to resist it. Again and again, we read that Jesus and his disciples do not belong to the world. That is to say, the world's claims do not shape their essential identity, faith, or values. But at the same time, Christ is crystal clear that there is no escape from the reality of the world. You know, we have often thought of salvation, of religious life, in the framework of not belonging to the world, almost as if that meant we're just here to wait it out or something. For a time, I had a quote on my Facebook profile page in college, and it was from C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. Some of you may know it well. He wrote, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." Well, I love C.S. Lewis, and in many ways, I still love this quote. It's often served to misguide me and others, because you see, we were made for this world. And we're mistaken when we begin to read the gospel in such a way that we find affirmation in our longings to retreat from engaging in it. According to Brian McLaren, the gospel is a transformation plan, not an evacuation plan. It's focused not on airlifting souls to heaven or retreating from the world until this life is over, but on transforming lives so people can be agents of God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Towards the end of his time on earth, Jesus prays to God on our behalf. His prayer constitutes a transition in which responsibility for God's mission in the world is passing from himself to the disciples. In our scripture today, Jesus is petitioning God for those to whom the mission will now be entrusted. And so he prays, "I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." My friends, if I had to guess, many of you are exhausted by the world. Maybe your own particular circumstances have you fatigued. You're worn out by the everyday stresses of your job or your home life. Or maybe you're exhausted by the world's ceaseless violence and corruption, and you're tired of the frequent feelings of despair over the inability to make a difference. Often, when I read the news or observe our own current political climate, I want to escape. I want to disengage and in some ways just be done with it. A life spent at youth camp sounds really good right now. And yet, while we may not belong to the world, we are sent into the world. Christ understands our need for retreat. Vacation, Sabbath, and respite, they're important, hear me. But ultimately, we must remember that we are agents of God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We are all mothers, men and women alike, giving birth to Christ in word and deed. And while that work may be taxing and exhausting, we are always under the protective care of God, and that is more life-sustaining than any retreat could provide us. You see, the holiness that we long for, we may think is only achieved by escape from the world or succumbing to some kind of disengagement. But as it turns out, that's not the case. Holiness is found through the action of God, which takes place in the here and now of this world. My friends, in these weeks following Easter, we remember that the pattern of Christ's own life was not escape from the world, but engagement with the world, with all of its distorted powers and pressures. So this morning, may you and I take comfort in Christ's presence, which allows us to live vitally and faithfully in the world, not owned by it, but fully engaged with its needs and wounds, and energized by the truth of God's word, by the truth who was sent into the world that we all might have a more abundant life in the here and now. Amen.